Welcome back to Talking Backwards, a Twin Peaks podcast. I'm Dave Jackson, joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins. You can't see it, but he gave you third the okay.
No, that was a number three.
Oh, I thought you were doing the okay.
Third in the
third
line.
Man.
Yeah.
You want to be fourth this time?
Yeah. You know who's coming before me?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Let's just stick with what we got then.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is going to be for part four.
Holla at your boy for some Pat stats, stats, stats.
It's part four of Twin Peaks The Return, a.k.a. Season 3, Episode 4, a.k.a. brings back some memories from Twin Peaks, the limited event series.
You got some Pat stats for me?
Yeah, that was them.
So the subtitle of the episode is Brings Back Some Memories.
Man, it does.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. This is a quote from the episode itself. This is the running theme.
Yeah.
So far, every episode or every part's title has a quote from the script as the subtitle.
Yep.
So we're still at the casino.
Silver Mustang?
Silver Mustang.
Yes.
Dougie's winning jackpots left and right.
Just left and right. Just killing them. We're up to 29 at this point. And the owner's getting a little hot under the collar.
He is.
He's a...
Is it the owner?
I assume the manager. Well,
yeah, he's running the place. He's the pit boss.
Yeah,
he's running the place. But Mr. Jackpots just keeps giving this money away and everybody's winning big. He gets the name from the same haggard old lady that was flipping him off before.
Mr. Jackpot. So good.
Which one's next, Mr. Jackpots? So he seems to have enough cognition to be able to direct people to things that they ask him, but if somebody directly tells him something, he does not know how to be a human being. I don't get it.
I don't understand the state he is in
Nevada.
Mentally.
Oh.
That's a very fugue state.
Fugue.
He's just winning jackpots left and right. He's really putting the heat on the establishment. But they finally pull him off the floor, take him to the office. He runs into an old friend. Or one of Dougie Jones's old friends.
Yes.
Bill Shaker. This is where we find out Dougie's last name, mm-hmm. Dougie Jones.
Dunk Jangle.
Dave Jackson. That is a triple.
That is a triple.
Whoa.
That's way better than the
three
double.
Three DJs. It's fantastic.
Yeah, albeit a little forced.
Not at all.
You're a part of this too.
You're a part of this too,
not,
Dave.
You're a part of the Twin Peaks universe.
Oh man, you are. Here we are. So anyhow, Dale Cooper, who is being mistaken for this Dougie Jones, now has Dougie Jones in his repertoire of words. Or
yes.
his learned repository of things to repeat.
Yeah.
So Bill Shaker is the one who tells him where he lives.
Yeah.
Lancelot Court, the house with the red door.
That's how he always remembers it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the only house in the neighborhood with a red door.
Home.
I guess.
Home. Heard that word before.
We have.
Twin Peaks. I know Leland has said it. Because I remember we'd already seen this episode and we've said that on this podcast before. Whenever home has come up, we've both gone, home.
Home.
Yeah, it was Leland, and it was during one of his episodes after he has a freak out while he's dancing. And
that's right, yeah.
People say they're going to take him home, and he looks up and says,
home. Yeah.
So much the same way.
Yeah. I think that's a callback.
I think so, too. I think it's got to be. He gets escorted off the floor and taken to the pit boss's office, where he gets distracted by some dice on the table as the guy's talking to him. Trying to offer him anything, a room, food, companionship, and a sack of cash.
Yeah.
He doesn't want him to come back because he is ruining his business, and he wants him to know that they are watching him.
Yes. That's right.
We're watching Mr. Dougie Jones.
Yeah.
But yeah, they call a limo for him to take him home.
Limo up front.
Bring limo around.
It's ridiculous.
Also, I don't know if it was intentional, but at least with, I remember him specifically repeating the word, who, and he said it like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, owl.
Like an owl hoot.
Yeah.
Funny you mentioned that.
Because of what's coming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he tells this super nice limo driver.
Yeah.
the two details he
just
can give.
Just a real peach of a guy.
Yeah. Real sweet guy.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, we're on Lancelot Court and looking for the red door, but it's...
It's a little dark. Sure, you gotta help me out.
Sure, you don't know your address as I'm trying to take you home?
Red door.
There, bud. It's like, all right, yeah, I'm looking for a red door, but it's a little hard at night.
New shoes.
Little does he know, there's an extremely well-lit red door coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. Like, egg on his face.
And he's very proud when he finds it. He's like, yeah. Yep, there it is.
This is it. Yeah. Red door.
I found your home, Mr. Jones.
Man.
He's just like, all right. Because he's just sitting there in his daze with a sack of money in his lap.
Yeah.
Not getting out of the limo. Driver comes around, spooks him.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He thought he was coming to steal his cash sack.
I don't think he's even where he has a cash sack.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's holding.
So driver opens the door and lets him out. And he doesn't immediately walk in. And this is why I say this is the nicest driver in the world.
Yeah, because he stands there with him. He's like, and waits with him.
I'll
wait here as long as you need me to.
Yeah, it's like, I'll wait right here with you.
Yeah, okay. And then an owl flies over.
Mm-hmm. And catches both of their attention.
Those things spook me.
Yeah, exactly.
They should.
And he still doesn't respond to him, poor guy. And so they're just standing there waiting until Naomi Watts comes out of the red door.
That's right. And she's worked with David Lynch before. She was in Mulholland Drive.
Correct.
I want to point out here, she says that he's been gone for 3 days. And we've already heard this in relation to Ruth Davenport being missing for 3 days.
Right.
And you can also make the connection of almost like Coop resurrected, you know, with Jesus in 3 days.
Mm. But he's been gone 25 years.
No, I know. But in this case, I think it's a point to make. It's a recurring theme.
It could be a point to make. I feel like that part's a stretch.
Like death and resurrection.
Did he die?
Dougie died, and now he's resurrected as Cooper. Dougie was gone.
I guess that's fair.
No.
But Dougie wasn't even a real person.
Yeah, he was a homunculus.
He was a fake person.
Yes. A falsehood.
A statue.
A decoy.
A Pharisee.
A ruse.
I'm out.
Yeah, dude, I don't know how else to say it. Now she comes out and gets him. She's very upset because he has been gone for 3 days. He missed Sunny Jim's birthday.
I don't know.
Not a word.
Sunny Jim.
Sunny Jim Jones.
Is it Sun E?
Like Janie E?
Yeah.
No, it's Sonny in the credits. Did you not pay attention to the credits?
I did, and I was looking at Janie E.
E. Yeah, I also Janie missed Sunny Jim in the credits. Yeah, this is Naomi Watts as Janie E. Jones. Janie
was Sunny Jim not the one that was in that meth ladies 119 house?
No, but I like that you made that connection.
I thought that's who it was.
Not the same. Yeah, so Dougie had a family.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because Cooper always dreamed he would have a family.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get to have one with Caroline.
Right.
Didn't get to have one with Annie.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a family with Janie E, and he's got a son.
I hope immediately when Cooper comes to, he's like, how's Annie or where's Annie? Or
and Janie's just like, who's Annie?
Yeah. You bastard.
Jade gives two rights. Yeah, so she angrily forces him inside, and she's just yelling at him, forcing him to sit down, again, completely unaware that he's just unresponsive. Nobody calls a hospital.
No.
But she sits him down and finds all the cash in the bag, and it feels like all's forgiven.
It makes me wonder what kind of person Dougie was before.
She also says, as she's going through the cash, she says, this is enough to pay them back.
Yeah.
Like, who do you owe? And who do you owe this much? And I would assume he's in debt to bad people.
To the Silver Mustang owner.
She does immediately assume he was at the Silver Mustang.
Yeah.
So well,
he's assuming he's a frequent there.
Yeah, he must have a reputation.
Do we
for
think?
It. I wonder if this is where he meets up with his ladies.
Right.
Jade.
She dropped him back off there.
With his Jade well, types.
That doesn't make sense.
With his realtors.
But wouldn't they know him? Isn't that pit boss that watching there? Him always?
Yeah,
always watching.
Yeah, but it seems like if he was a regular patron, then maybe he wasn't winning big. Maybe he was losing more than he was winning, and that's why she would be angry with
like
him for being
there. I feel
like they
know the losers, too. Like, just, like, if they're...
Well, maybe he's a regular that has average luck. Like, stays off the radar like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that could be a possibility. Maybe it makes just enough to hire a realtor and then.
Yeah. Buy a house.
Yeah. And then just kind of dips out for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my theory on it.
Sweet.
Yeah. We're not done with bills.
Another bill.
Got another bill coming.
Bill Hastings.
Our second bill. Oh, third bill.
Third bill.
So that is a double into a triple.
That was a live punch. Like that was seamless.
That was wild.
Very well done. So yeah, we get our third bill. We've got Bill Hastings, who's locked up. We've got Bill Shaker, who recognized Dougie Jones, and we've got Bill Kennedy, who is leading Cole into his meeting with another familiar face. You love to see it. It's Denise Bryson.
Oh yeah.
With David Duchovny. Interesting note, the actress who played Tracy was in Californication with David Duchovny.
Mm-hmm.
So they've worked together before in a way.
Yep. Connections, making all kinds of connections.
Yeah.
Weird.
So yeah, it's Denise Bryson. She's now the FBI chief of staff. This is said explicitly.
Yeah.
You know, as chief of staff of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, let's go ahead
just
and
love the way that out sounds.
I love that too. Yeah. Yeah. So now Gordon reports to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Mentions a previous time when he was her boss.
Right.
So obviously that role has reversed.
Got enough dirt on her to fill the Grand Canyon.
Man.
But never used a spoonful.
That's a lot of dirt. And the fact that he was going to fill it in with a spoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's insane.
Yeah. And this episode is filled with many damn fine lines. But my damn fine line is Gordon Cole telling Denise's colleagues
to fix their hearts or die.
Damn fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really
love,
good.
Love, love, love it.
I might match you on that.
Damn fine.
Damn fine double.
Damn fine. Damn fine.
It's getting out of hand. Yeah, Denise kind of picks on Cole for taking Tammy Preston with him.
TP.
For. Kind of,
confirmed. TP.
I think she's just kind of taking a dig at his selection process. Like, she's a young agent.
What?
Attractive.
What'd she do? She read some pages and told you something that was in those pages? She's qualified.
Yeah. It matches up to what Denise already knows about Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to take the attractive young woman with you.
He apparently has a type, but he assures Denise that there's room for two beautiful women in the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Of that, I have no doubt.
He also says that Tammy's got the goods.
Mm-hmm.
And that she will be useful on this investigation. Denise okays it, and he heads out. Here's how cell phones work. They are mobile. They are cellular. Yes. You can take them with you. A person is not anchored to one place when they have a cell phone.
Yeah.
In the show, it is 2017, correct?
2016.
Okay.
So
they're not
take
new.
It back.
So cell phones aren't new, basically.
No. They were just gaining steam.
They're still running on steam.
Yes.
I remember my first steam phone.
Yes.
And Lucy does not know how this works. She's trying to call Sheriff Frank Truman, who is filling in for Harry while he's sick. She assumes he's still out fishing because it sounds like he's next to a river,
yeah.
Which I guess is just static from them having lost connection.
I guess.
Because she seems very much like she's just talking to herself, because when Frank Truman enters, he's just holding his phone up away from his head to show her that it's him. And then he has his phone. Knocks her off her feet.
Completely.
She's completely gobsmacked.
Bowled over.
Andy the Great Husband. Immediately runs over to check on her.
What's wrong, Punky?
Punky, a cell phone means that they could be walking or even driving.
I don't know how you don't get it.
How does this happen over and over?
Like, how many times has this happened?
And yeah, right.
Like, cell phones are pretty prominent. I feel like this is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
A million. So we meet Frank Truman.
Mm-hmm.
We've read about him a little bit in the Secret History.
And apparently the police department has like tripled in size.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Definitely
yeah.
Expanded.
Yeah.
They have definitely expanded.
Yeah. The back room is like
dispatcher.
All kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah. Dispatcher, you got a SWAT team maybe.
Yeah. Or it sounds like the town has gone downhill
pretty bad. And they and what was most interesting to me was
we wouldn't know because we haven't spent any time there.
But she said like what this has been a pretty slow night. But yet there were like DUIs. Denny Craig OD'd. It was just like, geez, okay, this is a slow day.
Yeah,
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I'll tell you what that's happened. Not great. Laura Palmer died.
It's the new Deer Meadow. What is going on?
Man, this one guy seems like he's from Deer Meadow. I didn't catch this guy's name this episode. Chad, yeah.
Chad sucks.
Chad's a piece of work.
What's his last name?
Deputy Chad Broxford.
Broxford. That's
these made up names.
That doesn't feel good to say.
Broxford.
Luckily, I feel like I've never heard that word.
Is it with an N or the show? CK?
I've always just referred to him as Chad. Good night, Chad.
Chad fell down.
Good night, Chad Broxford.
Yeah, we got Chad in here, and he's not great. But Truman's getting a rundown from. Is Maggie a deputy?
Sure.
Or is she just a.
Not sure.
She is an employee of.
She is an employee of the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station.
TPS.
But she's giving him, she's giving him that rundown. It's a real bad rundown.
Just says she's the dispatcher.
Yeah.
Have you started on that rundown yet?
So yeah, we did.
This rundown better be really good.
We did have a high school student OD in the middle of class.
Little Denny Craig.
Little Denny Craig.
The little Denny Craig. I remember him from when he was little.
Did not get up from his desk when class was dismissed.
No.
Died right there in the room.
So did he OD there? Like on the desk?
He was dead. He was dead at the desk.
Did he arrive to the desk dead?
This was a desk death?
Death desk?
Say it five times fast.
Death desk, death desk, death desk, death desk, death desk. Death mask expert. We can assume he arrived alive. And
another desk death at the death
and
desk.
And at the desk. So there's only one man for the job when it comes to high school ODs.
Bobby.
Bobby Briggs.
Bobby the Machine Briggs.
Who's the machine?
So assuming at this point that Bobby's
a boy.
That Bobby's not a bad cop. This is
not yet.
Exciting to see. Assuming that his father's vision has panned out for him.
I think
he's turned out all right.
Once his dad died.
Things started turning around for him.
Yeah.
Well, he did see great things in his future.
He changed.
Yeah. But yeah, assuming he's not a crooked cop like the one that he killed in Firewalk with Me.
Yeah.
His father was right. He turned out okay.
That was the linchpin moment. He's trying to say, man, I never want that to be me. When I become a cop, I'm not going to be crooked.
Yeah.
No, Bobby became a cop. Works for the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
And
So he mentioned some Chinese drugs.
Chinese designer drugs.
Designer drugs, yeah.
That's what Truman thinks is the culprit here, and they obviously have encountered this before.
Yeah. And coming across the border, it sounds, possibly.
Yeah. They think it's coming from Canada, but Bobby has cameras on all known trails, so he's not sure how these are getting in.
You should know all the unknown ones.
Right. From his days as Bad Boy
Unless
Bobby.
Unless he added the trails he knew to the list of knowns.
Right.
And now the street youths of today have created new
trails.
Yeah.
2017 trails.
2016
trails.
We link back up with Hawk to talk about the message from the log and what Hawk's been working on while Harry was away. Frank was away.
Frank.
And Chad walks in and...
Yeah, ask Chad.
Just kind of invites himself into this meeting.
And he's just being a dick.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm gonna go talk to my bank and...
Oh, you get messages from logs?
Chad. The pine cone man.
So this is what Hawk's working on. Being as that it has... Or Log Lady's message had something to do with Cooper's case.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all of the Laura Palmer case file laid out, including photos.
And who walks in?
Bobby Briggs.
Bobby the boy.
It's a little emotional here.
I feel like Bobby has not thought of Laura Palmer
for
his last 25
years. He never processed.
I doubt he has that
situation.
And he probably doesn't have that picture either.
Right.
So I'm sure seeing that triggered, brings back some memories.
Yeah.
It triggers some memories. That brings back some memories, like you said.
He gets a little emotional and, says outright the title of the episode.
And most importantly, the Laura Palmer theme kicks in.
Yes.
And it is incredible.
Yeah,
there has been barely any music these first four parts.
Yeah, poor Angelo Badalamenti.
It is awesome when this happens. Like, I'm happy that it happens this way because it makes it that much more powerful when you finally hear that music. The emotions, just like for Bobby, it just flood in for the viewer.
Right.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, we're back. This is Twin Peaks again.
And then it gets even better because he's like, what's this about?
Mm-hmm. Cooper.
Know? Yeah. Cooper. You haven't seen him since my father died.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Like, he was the last one to see him alive.
Yeah. Like, just fascinating info. We just start getting hit with
but that's more the clues. End of Secret History.
Secret yes. History. Yeah, yeah. 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 That how he came by the house.
But it was Boop.
Right.
Right. It was wrong.
Cooper. David Copperhead.
Right. Yeah. And then his dad died at what he says is the station next day. That's how he worded it.
Yeah. In a fire at the station, which we know from the Secret History was listening post Alpha.
Right.
But it gone Sweet. And he gone. There's also a visitor.
Yeah. And this guy that comes into, what is this deputy's name?
Sam.
Jesse Holcomb?
You said it looks like Sam Colby.
Looks yeah. just like him.
Yeah. What is that was his name? Holcomb?
Top
yeah.
secret.
Jesse Holcomb.
Jesse.
Yeah.
This guy. Well, he just comes in.
This is a cool cat.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this guy's deal? I need more info
yeah,
on
steps
this
in
guy.
And posts up.
He does.
And waits his turn.
He does. Jesse.
He says Wally's arrived.
By the name of Wally Brando's parked outside.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because then Andy and Luz are just like, Wally.
Yeah, they're ecstatic. And then he mentions that it's their son.
Yeah. So. And then as they leave, he says, oh, and Sheriff Truman, he wants to pay his respects.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Tyler, I don't think you were properly buckled up for this next section.
No, I don't think you were.
I was not. But then also I had some...
This has come up before. We talked about Michael Cera and Twin Peaks. Like, it came up in our on our show. We said it, like, but not in that he's in it.
Right.
We said something like, wow, Michael Cera and Twin Peaks, that'd be something.
Like, y'all something. Did?
Yeah, but yeah, I think. Yeah.
I asked you about.
You did. A separate
but I
time.
Was thinking of Kiefer Sutherland, because you were watching Fire Walk with Me. Dave was watching Fire Walk with Me and said something in the message about.
Kiefer Sutherland
being in there. And then like 2 weeks later, I was talking to you, Patrick.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't like the whole time I kept thinking you said Michael Cera was in it.
Yeah,
and
I remember
like,
that.
Wouldn't he have been like not born right. or yeah, something?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I kept literally the whole movie for some reason and not putting things together. I kept waiting for him to like show up in the movie.
Yeah. That's funny.
And Ooh. I don't know, but this is hilarious.
This is hilarious, yeah.
Amazing.
I need a Wally Brando spinoff series ASAP.
I just need that jacket.
Jacket's so great.
Jacket's good.
Wally stitched.
Yeah.
He is dressed like Marlon Brando's character in The Wild One, fully. Yeah. Is even doing an impression.
Yeah. It makes it even better that it's so bad.
I think we're led to believe that because he was born on Marlon Brando's birthday, he believes himself to be a reincarnate.
Yeah.
And as just
did he also
dedicated
did he
to that
die?
Bit.
I don't that's not how it works.
Look, I don't know, man.
All we know is this cat's been crisscrossing these highways. This great nation of ours. Hey, who would win in a race? Wally Brando or James Hurley?
Wally Brando. James would just crash like he did, and then he would just be quiet.
Yeah, are we talking quiet. Current James? Are we talking post-crash James? Because he's got no chance. I don't think he even drives himself anymore.
Yeah.
I'm talking get on his bike and go, James.
Oh, no. He would lose, too.
Okay.
Why?
The weight of that forehead. Which I don't know if I mentioned this in when we saw him.
I guess at the
end
of
part two.
Yeah.
His forehead looks smaller.
It looks a little smaller.
I think it's because his hair's shorter.
Absolutely. Like the height of the hair before definitely accentuated that forehead. Yeah, he's a little more put together now.
Still.
Old James Marshall.
Still not a cool guy.
He seems nice.
He's cool. He's so cool.
Anyhow, Wally Brando regales Sheriff Truman with his praises. We find out that he is the godson of Harry Truman. And I just wanted to pop in and pay his respects to his godfather's brother and how he's sheriffing this fine town.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He recounts some wonderful memories.
Of growing up in Twin Peaks. He lets his parents know that they can turn his childhood bedroom into a study.
Mm-hmm. And that has been eating at them for a long time.
And they
time.
Are thrilled.
He's going to allow it because they're such sweet people.
I tell you, as great as Michael Cera is in this scene,
Andy
Kimmy,
and-
yeah, Kimmy and Harry are so good. Their reactions to him are incredible.
Andy's like,
And I'm trying to remember if it's in one of the bonus features on the Blu-ray, but I feel like Kimmy Robertson's talking about this scene and that like Michael Cera was kind of worried about because it's a long scene. It's a long monologue that was written and, you know, he was like worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did it in one take. I think that's what she said. Like, I think they used the take. Like, he was nervous about having to do it a bunch. And David was just like, you nailed it.
Incredible.
Yeah, I was just like,
it is a super Twin Peaks scene.
But yeah, and then we get a great nod to well, I don't know if it's a nod to the book, but it's stuff that's mentioned in the book with Lewis and Clark. It's just a quick passing thing. Like, Lewis and his friend Clark.
And his friend Clark.
Caucasians.
Yeah.
Their footprints have been my highways and byways.
Everything about this.
I think we just need to take a second and listen to
the whole thing.
That whole thing. So good.
There's no way to do it justice without seeing and hearing it for yourself.
Yeah.
The other really great part is when he talks about his shadow. And then when it rhymes at the end, because he's like, it's always behind me or in front of me or to the left or the right, except on cloudy days and at night. Just what is happening?
I wrote that for my girlfriend.
Also, yeah.
There's an unsolved mystery.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, everybody's great in this scene, but Robert Forster, who plays Frank Truman, his reactions to him are gold.
Yep.
Again, Frank Truman is not a Twin Peaks character.
Right.
He's an outsider.
Right.
Who is now in this world of maniacs.
Yeah.
He's so good too. And he's another cast member. He passed away sometime within the past year.
Man.
Cause I remember he was in the El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
When that got released, I think he passed away that day.
That's right.
Or like the day before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. But he's fantastic. Fun fact about him too, by the way, he was originally cast to be Harry Truman in Twin Peaks. And he had a scheduling conflict with like a movie or something.
Oh, wow.
And he was actually supposed to be Harry in the original series.
Instead of Michael Ancine. Wow.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So I wonder too, if that led to the casting for this, if David Lynch was that he had that in mind, like, cause basically so Michael Ancine, he retired from acting and I think he lives in Hawaii, but what's strange,
the Jacoby family.
Yeah. What's strange is I feel like he considered doing this.
So he's not in.
And was like looking for his jacket. I don't know if he still had it or something. So I don't know. I don't really know what the whole story. I don't think anyone knows that whole story.
So to try and, I guess, excuse himself from this exchange, Truman looks at Wally and gives him a blessing, says, may the road rise to meet your wheels.
He was trying to say something just as obscure and...
Yeah.
Well, his response to that was also just... Wally's got a million great lines in this, but my dharma is the road. Your dharma.
And just kind of gestures to the town.
So... good.
And then he walks off. So
Truman just turns around and walks away, shaking his head like, what?
Possibly.
Everything Wally Brando said in there, if I hadn't already picked Fix Your Hearts or Die.
Damn fine.
This whole thing is damn fine.
The entire
fine.
Monologue
it's,
is gold.
Yeah, 5 minutes of pure joy.
Of relentless entertainment. I just love that Truman's walking away, shaking his head like, what did I just experience?
Yeah, what, this kid. Was that?
This is perfect casting and a perfect character. So Cooper's still being tended to as Dougie Jones here at the Jones residence.
Yes.
He's just sitting next to his clothes. He's in his jammy jams and is not getting dressed, but he does start searching the room. Mike is also searching the red room, just kind of feeling the air for what I guess is just like a spot that he would be able to make a connection.
Red chair.
So Mike finds a spot that looks like it's good. It's like, I feel like I can touch here and probably talk to somebody. And Cooper spots a red chair in the corner. And as he's looking there, he can see Mike. Lets him know that he has been tricked.
Yep. Very important.
And holds up the gold bead.
It's a gold ball.
It's like, because this has happened, that either he or Boop have to die.
Someone's got to die.
Mama is on.
Yes, Tyler?
I don't know.
So much like Bobby earlier, who had to urinate so bad his back teeth were floating.
Yep.
Cooper suddenly gets the call of nature.
Yeah. To urinate for the first time in 25 years.
And seems to have forgotten.
I only assume that because I've never seen a toilet in the red room.
Well, yeah. Also, he hasn't.
You thought about your thing. I did. Have we seen one?
He's seen had some porcelain.
He's had nothing to drink since he disappeared either, I have to assume.
Yeah, except so that weird coffee in the that they were giving him.
Oh, the turn
engine
solid.
Oil. Yeah, the engine oil coffee.
So he's a little backed up, apparently.
Yeah.
But can't seem to figure out what to do with himself. So great wife Janie pushes him into the bathroom and
Janie E.
Gets him in there and helps him out. And
Not really. She just kind of puts him there.
Yeah. Well, he figures it out. So he gets that taken care of. There's a moment with the mirror. It's very reminiscent of the end of season 2. Mm-hmm.
How's Annie?
How is Annie?
Who?
I wonder if we find out.
MT who?
Yeah, we get him dressed. It's obviously not the same body because none of his clothes fit. But she cinches him up and heads off to wake Sunny Jim and make breakfast.
Make some breakfast.
Great moment here between Sunny Jim and Dougie. Mm-hmm.
Very waiter-esque. Down the hall, he spots Sunny Jim, who sees him and gives him a smile. Coop smiles back, awkwardly. Kid gives him a thumbs up. He gives him a thumbs up back, awkwardly. Then just starts turning in circles.
Yeah. Sunny Jim loves this.
He loves this. I think he already knows this isn't Dougie Jones. I think he's well aware.
I think so, too.
So, since he couldn't put his tie on, he just kind of throws it over his head.
Yeah. Goes down.
As you do.
Grab some Hungry Jack.
Got some Dave Brubeck playing.
Oh, yeah. Take five.
Yeah, fine choice.
Yeah, we got some Hungry Jack pancakes on the plate. And so he sits down to breakfast, has a little more exchange with Sunny Jim, who's being way more helpful than anybody else right off the bat.
Yeah.
I see you don't really get this. Let me show you how to be a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll show you how to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unquestioned. Helps him out. And here comes coffee.
Mm.
Janie E's got a piping hot cup of Good Morning America.
Right.
Sits on the table and says, the mug says, I am Dougie's coffee.
I am Dougie's coffee.
So this is a morning thing for Dougie, I have to assume, too. Yeah. So the coffee thing never really went away.
Yeah, yeah. The sip of it. I mean, this became one of those things where people are like, okay, what's going to wake him up?
Mm-hmm.
Not coffee.
It's got to be the coffee.
Not the owl.
Give me cherry pie.
Yeah, it's like, what? Which thing is it that's going to wake him up?
Yeah, he takes a sip of the coffee and there's this promise.
I bet it'll be the Douglas Firs.
Beautiful.
Dougie Firs.
Majestic.
Dougie Firs.
There's a light musical swell as he goes to sip the coffee and just burns his mouth.
Yes. Immediately, yeah.
And what does he say?
She's like, she scolds him.
Dougie!
Yeah, and he just goes, hi! Smiling real big.
Not hello.
No.
Hello.
Yeah, so that wasn't it. Big letdown.
There was also I think it's a cookie jar behind him that's an owl.
Mm-hmm. Missed that.
Yeah, big orange.
Ooh.
So we're going back to Buckhorn, where we have the results off the body that was found with Ruth Davenport's head, but the identity is blocked by the military.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Garland Briggs.
I think Garland Briggs as well.
It's a good thought.
We've seen Garland Briggs' head independently as well, so.
Of his body.
It stands to reason, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good connection.
Is the experiment's body Ruth Davenport's body? Because her head's all messed up?
Is what?
So the monster, the glass box monster,
mm-hmm.
has a lady body, but a real messed up head.
But that's not.
Dave's just thinking.
So they used Ruth Davenport's body.
Yeah.
Put Briggs' head in outer space to float and say Blue Rose over and over.
Right.
Then put Ruth's head on Briggs' body.
Yeah, you got it.
And then where's this alien's body?
It's
because that has a head.
It's just the head.
I'm with you, Tyler.
You want to think about that?
I'm with you, Tyler. But I love that this is where...
I don't know. I don't know.
But I love that you're thinking about these things.
You poke holes in my theories, I poke holes in yours.
Yeah, these are totally acceptable things to be thinking about. I like where your heads are at.
Just trying to carry water with a laundry hamper over here. All right, we are on our way.
Speaking of Ruth Davenport.
Okay.
She's dead.
Yes.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah.
Just a reminder.
All right, so where are we going?
We're still in South Dakota.
Still in South Dakota.
Not Mount Rushmore.
Not Mount Rushmore.
No, but there is a picture, though.
Oh, yes. Brought you a picture.
Faces of stone.
There they are, Albert.
Another great line.
Yeah, it's a long road trip.
Yeah.
Tammy's passed out. We have to assume from Valium.
Yeah.
Yes.
She gets carsick.
Yeah.
She's carsick.
It's a very
with the window down.
It's very Mr. T in the A team. Doesn't really travel unless they're unconscious.
Yeah.
So there's
arriving members of the Dharma Initiative.
Top secret.
So much to Cole's dismay, they are nowhere near Mount Rushmore. Albert does have a picture, so he can at least see.
I thought
that
he was going to hold it up to the horizon or something.
No, nope, he's satisfied with just a high res print off.
Perfect.
That was great.
It's very good. They get to the prison where Cooper is being, or the Mr. C is being held, and they go over,
which is the same prison where apparently Ray is.
Yeah. So they've
been told
they've got him.
Are they in Yonkers?
Yankton.
Yes. This way, they kind of explain the conditions under which they found him the contents, of his trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Just everyday things, block of cocaine,
a dog leg,
and a machine gun,
which I assume is from Dead Dog Farm,
and some crack cane.
The dog leg, I don't know the point of, but yeah, we've got a block of cocaine, a machine gun.
Yes.
And a dog leg wrapped in plastic.
Oh.
Yep. They go in for the interview and things get weird.
So his voice is weird. His
voice sounds weird. He doesn't greet Cole properly. And the thumbs up he does, I think what he meant by that initially is he says, it's very, very good to see you again, old friend. However, the first very is year of, it was backwards. So it's year of very good to see you again, old friend.
Hmm.
What?
if you watch it, I know that's not something you'd catch on a first watch, but he says
it does kind of just sound like a slur first.
He's like, it's year of very good to see you again, old friend.
Why is he talking backwards outside of the?
Well, here's my theory.
A clue maybe
is whatever he used to make the Dougie Jones shell was kind of the Horcrux theory. It's like, that's another part of him that let him coexist as two different things, but they shared a sentience.
Mm-hmm.
So with Dougie Jones as the decoy sucked into the lodge, he kind of lost a part of himself. So maybe he just doesn't, you know, have all the same constitutions.
Yeah.
So he's kind of, I mean, through this whole conversation, he's just like a robot that has a phrase parser. They're just kind of saying things that he thinks people would say. And
he repeats himself too.
Yeah.
It's like he's glitching out. This isn't the same Boop.
Hmm.
This is a lesser being.
Yes.
But still really scary looking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He says very obvious things and he's like, I wrecked my car on the way to see you and had an accident.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's how we found you. Yes, I was coming to see you.
Yeah.
And I wrecked my car. Like, yeah, he's just like a record skipping.
Yeah. But he's also pretty confident, though, when he's looking at Albert, being like, you know what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm going to go opposite of you, Dave, on that. I think he knows what he's doing. I think everything he's saying is intentional and that I don't want to say he's messing with them, but everything he's saying is purposeful. Cause that stare he gives Albert too, cause Cole catches it. Cause they talk about it after. Mm-hmm. I think it's all intentional.
Yeah. And it's the voice too is another thing that got me. Like, it's definitely pitched down and
for sure.
I said, while we were watching it together, it's like, it sounds a lot like the voice that was on the phone that was supposed to be Philip Jeffries.
Yeah, like somebody's
when Mr. C was in the hotel room.
But he called himself?
I don't think so. But
no, I don't think so. But I think there I feel like there's a loose connection there. I don't know.
Sure. Okay.
Look, I don't know.
No. I know. And that's but that's good. It's good that you're
here's the thing, I don't know.
Right. But this is what you're supposed to be doing. It's like it's always fun to think about, could this be connected to this?
Yeah.
Mm.
Stuff that gets you thinking. I love this scene.
He does.
It's just cool to even just get behind the idea of, man, these guys haven't seen each other in so long. How crazy that this dude's been off the grid, literally.
Yeah, and speaking of off the grid.
Except come in contact with Albert, and the fact that
he somehow got Albert to not say anything to Cole. That's crazy to me.
And speaking of off the grid, he asks him where he's been for 25 years, and he says he's been working undercover with Philip Jeffries.
Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Just like,
don't know.
I was like, you should know.
Could also be just like, yeah, is he saying that to Cole just to, maybe he's just assuming Philip Jeffries has been still off the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, oh, maybe they are working together.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't worry about it.
Can you just...
Yeah, that's where he said he was
undercover.
Yeah, right. I know. That's what I'm
just
like.
That's where he said he was coming from. He's like, I was with Philip Jeffries, and I was coming to talk to you about what we did. But I
for 25 years.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. So Albert and Cole need to have a talk.
Well, and before this too, they say that they're gonna. He told the warden to let him have his one phone call, and that he wants to hear all about it.
Yeah. Give him his private phone call and tell me all about it. Yeah.
But he also says he keeps telling Cole that he needs him to debrief him. Yeah, so like, is he like looking for a new vessel?
Oh,
like because he kept saying, I need to talk to you, right, or you need to debrief me.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I need you to be alone with me so right. I can take over your body.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you. Maybe take your body over. Yeah, just took your body over. I didn't catch that. I'm just going to take your body over.
So this scene here too with Albert and Cole, this is what Denise was warning him about. They're watching Tammy walk away. They're feeling better now.
Like she's Denise, wearing a wire.
Yeah, it's like, Denise, come on. Denise knew. Yeah, she's wearing a wire. She's like, you told me to.
So I can get you to walk away.
So he just goes, that's right. Good work, and Tammy. And
then sends her off.
I don't know if Cole's all there.
And I loved your description. Like, as Tammy walks away, she's just overselling the walk.
Well, it's funny, too. She's not... Christabel's not an actress. She's a singer that has worked with David Lynch forever. And he was just like, yeah, you should do this role. Like, he'll see something in someone and just be like...
TP?
You're TP.
Verified.
Verified. TP.
And I could be wrong, but I feel like this is also the only thing she's done. I'd have to confirm that. But yeah.
So. Gotcha.
And then there's a stupid blue tint.
Stupid. I love it. For what they talk about in the scene but related to Blue Rose, I just love that that's the effect. I think it's really cool.
I think that makes no sense.
I personally love it. It doesn't get any bluer. You're right. The scene doesn't get any bluer.
Yep.
I think it's a nice touch to what they're working on.
I also did not pick up on the filter as we were watching.
Oh, because you are colorblind.
Yes.
There's a blue filter.
I did not catch. And blue is the one I see the best.
Really?
But I did not catch it's a blue filter. It just looked overcast to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it might have
been.
But
it wasn't like even. That earlier. Yeah.
I totally could have seen them in the editing process just being like, let's make this blue.
Let's
make this bluer.
Yeah. What about a sepia tint?
Also, it doesn't get any blue. That was another damn fine line contender. I just love that. It's like, yeah, it's clear, but it doesn't get any blur. And also unclear.
So as Albert and Cole get their moment to speak here, he asks him about the look that Mr. C gave him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I cleared Cooper to give Philip Jeffries information. And then
the next day,
he gave him the name of one of their men.
I think he said a week later that person.
Probably undercover in Columbia.
Chicago. Was it Columbia?
Columbia.
Columbia. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then a week later, that man died. So Gordon doesn't know what's going on, but Albert's convinced that it has to do with Blue Rose. There's one more thing that Cole has up his sleeve. He thinks they need to have somebody come and take a look at Cooper. Like, they don't know where she is, but they know where she drinks.
What was the stuff with Cole's hearing aid?
Oh, like when, because he had it, because they were speaking quietly.
Yeah.
So he had it turned up to the max. So when Albert moved his foot, it was so loud, it set it off.
But it seemed weird. So the feedback was playing while they were just staring at each other.
It stopped, yeah.
Then it stopped.
It did, yeah.
And that whole time I was like, I don't think Albert's the same Albert that we knew or something. Because it was just kind of this weird, like, I'm telling you stuff that you should have known that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been caught and I'm just going to tell it to you.
Straight.
And see what comes out the other end, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you catch me now,
He may be looking at him a little differently now. Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird.
It was a strange choice.
So we go back to the roadhouse.
Just for literally no reason.
to hear some great music.
Yeah, but it's like the first time it happened, it was like, oh, there's Shelly and Dickwad and James.
You're talking about Red?
And Red.
And Gene.
A
lot of people.
Yeah, but like the past two, it's just been some music.
Just buckle up.
Which is fine, but it's kind of like the show doesn't even take place in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, so the group that's playing, Au Revoir, Simone.
And Pumbaa?
Yeah, and Pumbaa.
The song is Lark.
Yeah.
Yep, song's a bop.
It is a bop. It's good.
We just got that and credits rolling over it.
Yeah, and that's it.
Notice anything in the credits?
Nope.
This time?
Janie E.
You just noticed Janie E. Janie E. Jones.
Janie E.
What was I supposed to notice?
I just told you at the beginning of the series to just pay attention to the credits.
I did.
So I'm just seeing if you noticed anything.
Janie.
That's a good thing to notice, the way it's spelled. That was part four.
That was part four.
I love this episode. Love the Wally Brando stuff. Love Bobby's a cop. Like I said, the rush of emotions when Laura Palmer's theme plays. Love we got the return of Denise. All the stuff at the prison at the end, and the take five scene in the Jones kitchen. I love all of this.
Yes. No, it was a good episode.
It's very good. I like seeing a little bit of progress, albeit slow, of Cooper kind of reassimilating into the world. I'm excited to see him come back around if he does, and I need that.
Big F.
I need McCoop back, and I need more Wally Brando.
Oh yeah, loads more. Yeah. I think we're done with him probably.
That's probably true. Unfortunately,
that's what's crazy about the show is you just don't know.
Yeah,
it's just maybe, maybe not.
Right.
It's tough to say, and that's another great thing that I love about this. It's just, will we?
I don't know. Who's to say?
Well, let's get into some unanswered questions in a segment we call
Unsolved Mysteries.
Where is Philip Jeffries?
He is in the cloud.
Upload.
Check it out. It's the technology age. We are going places through electrical outlets. Electricity is the superhighway for ghosties and weirdos.
It's true.
Philip Jeffries is either in the cloud or he is Alexa. The Amazon Alexa.
That's it.
And that's just scientific fact.
Yeah.
So solve that one for you. What else you got?
What's wrong with Harry Truman?
He's sick.
I think.
Spina bifida.
He has. That's at birth.
Ah, well.
Still hasn't gotten over Josie.
Yeah. I was going to say he has like a liver disease or something because he drank so much.
Yeah, he's got a broken
heart. Yeah, he's got a broken heart and just renal failure. He's not doing great.
And just renal failure.
Yeah.
Whose dog leg is it?
I don't know why you would have just a dog leg.
Where's the rest of the dog?
Where's the rest of the dog? Okay, so I know there have been experiments. So I think this dog lost its leg.
In a boating accident.
In either a boating accident or just in the wild. Maybe it was a bear attack, right? So follow me.
So the bear ate everything but the one leg?
No, this dog is alive and well. And he has a prosthetic robot leg from an experimental procedure. He's doing great. His name is Chompers because he's always nibbling on something.
Sure.
So the dog's fine. And this leg is on bar.
This leg looks real fresh for this dog to have already gotten.
It's a fresh dog leg, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the leg's on borrowed time.
Recovered to be a chomper.
Right, no, but the dog is fine. Like, the dog recently has been, as of now, maybe not then, but as of now, he's got the bionic leg, and he's
unraveling.
And he's all good. He's good.
All right.
Is Sonny Jim the waiter?
What waiter?
Senior Joe Cup.
I think he has the people skills to
with that Benjamin Button disease.
That's what I was setting you up for.
I don't know. Thumbs ups or
thumbs ups are frequent. Where's Diane Shapiro?
Where is Diane Shapiro?
Hawk's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Or is it Hawk's wife?
I don't know.
He doesn't say.
Yeah, who knows?
He's married to the job.
Alright. Sweet.
Or.
She's dead.
That's possible.
So glad we have that one. Let's take a trip to the Reddit room.
Let's go to the Reddit room real quick.
Oh, I like it here. I feel
love
funny.
What you've done with the place.
It, you know, I
like the curtains.
I hung a couple more curtains. They're a little flowier than the originals. Not quite as heavy. Doesn't keep heat as well. So it's catching breeze, but
the ring is off the table.
Yeah,
where'd it go? Who has the ring?
I will deal with that later. In the meantime, I do see some Reddit posts here that we can look into and give a little ponder on.
Ponderosa Pine.
So Little Sam C says
Little Denny Craig.
The little Sam
is
little C.
Is it his brother? Little Sam Craig.
Could be Little Sam Craig.
Sam Colby?
Sammy Craig.
Oh.
Sam Colby.
Top secret.
Anyway, user Little Sam C says, how do you think Dougie was manufactured? I'm having trouble even conceiving how Evil Coop cloned created Dougie. I'm wondering if it has to do with Las Vegas scene where the guy in the business suit was telling the employee not to get involved. The only reason I say this is because Dougie is also from Vegas.
Sounds like I was on to something.
I think there is definitely a Vegas connection.
Whether it's that.
Like it seems like he kind of got condensed. So when he pops in the red room, he gets condensed down into this little bead. But I don't know what this bead is.
Right.
It's a gold ball.
Is it like just a person seed that you
you plant it in
and you get a duck
into a womb.
Ugh.
You plant it in the ground and you grow an arm tree.
There could be 20 other Duggies roaming the world.
Did he grow on the evolution of the arm? They just plucked him off.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't think so.
So to answer your question, Little Sam C, that is absolutely how that works. I think we can leave the Reddit room.
I'm out of here.
Get out of here. Well, there's only one thing left we can do. And that's rate this episode, part 4, on a scale of 1 to 5 James Hurley foreheads in a segment we call Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
I can't. I just can't.
James!
Who's going first?
I think Tyler's going first.
Ooh. Tyler.
Let me tell you something about this episode. Started off real strong.
Mm-hmm.
Then right there in the middle, stayed strong. But once it got towards the end, it's still strong. It's 5-4 heads.
Whoa.
Just 5.
I love this show.
Little Davy Jackson.
Little Davy Jackson.
2 words. Wally Brando. 5-4 heads.
12,000 foreheads.
It's perfect.
Just 5.
Fucking love this TV show.
Talking foreheads.
It was an era very good episode, for sure. If you have any questions or comments, or concerns, you can email us at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram at talkingbackwardspod as well, Patrick.
You can hit us up on Twitter at Talkin' Backward.
Tyler.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is once again time for some Egg Devler shoutouts for our Patreon subscribers. Thank you, Vic Summers!
Woo!
I'll tell you, summer is one of my least favorite seasons, but that doesn't mean I don't like you, Vic. So keep it steamy out there, Vic. Thanks for the support. If you'd like a special shout out, just like the one I gave to Vic Summers, join us over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
You can also
keep an eye out for that David Copperhead shirt.
Merch.
Coming down.
Jeans.
Coming down from the mountaintops in the next few months.
Some David Copper jeans.
Are they just copper colored jeans?
No, jeans made of solid copper.
Find us on MySpace.
I'm going to go as David Copperhead for Halloween. And I'm going to wear some copper pants.
Get the wig.
Snakeskin shirt and shoes.
Yeah.
A horrible wig. Tan. Put some self-tanner all over my face.
Get some cream corn.
Yeah. I'll have a bandolier of just cans of cream corn.
So good.
I feel like Cooper's going to die. And we get the rise of David Copperhead.
Where he moves to Las Vegas to do his show.
Live at the Silver Mustang.
David Copperhead, the magician.
Prepare to be Dirtle.
Dirtle.